Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, October the 27th, 2023. Last Friday in the month of October, 19 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan this morning and two special guests who I will get to momentarily. But we've got to put out a plea here right away that we cannot find Matt during the break there, during the Pastor Whitaker program. Went out and tried to find a Marion Star with the vampire on it yesterday. And apparently went to a Kroger and called another Kroger. So Kroger in this town does not have the Marion Star yesterday with the vampire on the cover. So if you happen to have one that you're just going to toss in the recycling, or you know somewhere where there is one, let us know. We'll be here today in the office until 2 o'clock. So let us know. 740. Oh, and Matt kept my money. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Matt, why can't we locate a picture of the vampire on the front of the Star yesterday?
I called a Kroger, like you said. They said that they had just given up the ones that they had, and I should have called.
They had just done it.
Well, not like just, but like she said, I should have called earlier, like 9.
All fucked up by the population.
Apparently, it was a need to know story, is what it was.
I guess
collector's item.
So the one on the south end does not have them. The one on the east end does not have them.
Correct.
So other than that, I don't know, gas stations maybe, or if somebody still gets the paper delivered. If you have a copy of Vampire Woman on the front page of the Marion Star, they're banner day yesterday in journalism. Let us know, and we'll be glad to take that off your hands here, because we want to frame that and put it up in style. Now, joining us in studio, two gentlemen who have certainly been here in the past, help us celebrate a lot of different holidays at the station. Bob and Eric are pizza men who were part of the Great Race Pizza Shop. Hey, I got it right off the bat, with no notes, here in Marion for many years. Great book still available at the Historical Society about that if you want to check it out. Now, how did this come about? We've never done anything for autumn Halloween, Bob. What inspired this great day today?
Well, we were just thinking we need to stretch the pizza season out longer, and pumpkin pizza goes with Halloween, and so, you know, we did a pumpkin pizza. A second pumpkin pizza.
Because this becomes the busy time of year, because on the day before Thanksgiving, this will be the third year we've done something. Now, year number one, we had the tur pizza, which was the turkey pizza. Last year, we had the pumpkin pie pizza. And we're about 25 days. Do we know what this year's?
Well, and last year, I learned, and maybe that's why we're doing it earlier, it was hard to find baking pumpkins in late November. I mean, and you want a good sugar pumpkin rather than your old standard jack-o'-lantern pumpkin. And so I didn't want to go searching again in mid-November for a sugar pumpkin, which are available right now. So, you know, that's what we used as the sugar pumpkins for the pumpkin pizza.
Well, I was here for both of these, and it was fascinating because the tur pizza, Glenn Coble liked it.
He did.
But it wasn't, you know, it was probably about a 7 on the Richter scale, I would say. But the pumpkin pie pizza last year, which people thought, well, this isn't going to go very well at all. Buckeye Guy, I believe, was here that day.
Mary Ellen.
Was Mary Ellen here that day? I think she was.
Linda Sims, I believe.
Yeah, Linda Sims. And everybody liked the pumpkin pie pizza. That went over very, very well.
And Pastor Whitaker was on the way out. I mean, he liked it. He snuck a piece.
He did. So he's already dipped into it. But this is not pumpkin pie pizza, right?
It's
same thing.
It's pumpkin pizza.
Pumpkin pizza.
It's not pumpkin pie. You know, like your traditional pumpkin pie. But it has. But the main ingredient, of course, is pumpkin, a couple different cheeses, French cheese.
Cheese. Now, I don't remember cheese on the pumpkin pie.
It was.
There was cheese on the pumpkin pie pizza?
Yes.
I don't recall that.
And Gruyere. So, I mean, it's not your mozzarella you know, Parmesan type pizza, you know, the specialty cheese, which blends with the taste of pumpkin.
See, I don't remember that at all. I remember it tasting pretty much like pumpkin pie.
See, you were probably smashed on that fruit quake.
Oh, yeah, you brought that day, too. Boy, wasn't that delicious.
And, you know, so maybe you just forgot all about the pumpkin pizza.
Now, you've also brought, now, for a minute, for a long time, I thought you were saying that this was a kitty pizza, but based on candy, because that's the other staple of Halloween. I did not realize till earlier in the week I was mistaken.
Well, out of respect to Matt, who said that he does not like pizza, even though
he's nuts.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, well, all right, you know, we'll have something for him. You know, if I, you know, did a kitty pizza, you know, a sugar cookie pizza. But now I learned this morning that he doesn't like sugar cookies either. So
were you depressed when you heard that? I thought, boy, we should have talked about that earlier.
And I said, well, there'll be more to go then, at least.
It's not necessarily that I don't like sugar cookies. Just, like, if I was going to get cookies, it wouldn't be a sugar cookie, because they're just, like...
What do you like? We know you like chili. And you say you like pumpkin pie.
I
for
do
your
like
birthday,
pumpkin pie.
For your, well, here you go. This is right up your alley, then. Today, the pumpkin pizza.
And so I'm going to give credit where credit is due here. My wife decorated this last night.
Oh, here we go.
And so this it will be a clue as well to the surprise.
Well, okay. Now, the surprise. Now, let's touch on this. Now, this. Now, I want to make sure this is right, because none of this makes any sense to me. You said the surprise has to do with big feet.
Big feet.
Big feet. Big feets?
Feets.
Feets. F-E-A-T-S?
F-E-E-T-S.
So, feet.
Feet.
Okay. But you, when I asked you, I said, have I ever talked about big feet? You said no.
I recall maybe one show, there was a guest on who mentioned big feet or something like that, but that was, that's really reaching. But
so, no, nothing
we
to do with
we
it.
We haven't discussed this on the air before.
But I will, when this happens, we'll save it here,
yeah.
But when it happens, I will know what it is.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So I'm totally, because usually the hint would send me in a direction somewhere, but big feet doesn't send me anywhere.
No, well, you need your feet for walking.
Apparently. So this
so
is
you
a decor.
Well,
for radio, Matt, let's get over here and take a picture so we can put it on Facebook, because the radio unveiling of this really doesn't do all that much for the listening audience out there.
No.
But, you know, technology being what it is now.
That's good.
Oh, I can't see it. I'm like a radio audience member. I can't see a darn thing over here.
Matt says it's good. It's got to be good.
Matt says, boy, that's good. Oh, look at that. Look at, hey, they made it in a picture of Matt. They put a picture of Matt on the...
Well, we didn't really get the scraggly mustache there, but...
My goodness. So, now describe what the pizza looks like, Matt.
It's like a Sasquatch kind of thing. Like an angry-looking Sasquatch thing.
Bigfoot, right?
Yeah.
So, Bigfoot sugar cookie pizza.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. And now, let's get into the Halloween feel here, because we got a top 10 list coming up. I don't want to get
in... A bonus top 10 list.
A bonus, because we've got another one today, two today as well.
Two other ones today, and
don't you feel the top 10 list... See, we talked a few weeks ago. You felt they might have been generational, but I don't think they are, because I think they're starting to get it.
Hopefully.
As time goes on. Oh, we're getting a phone call. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, do you still need that newspaper?
Yes, I would like a copy of that newspaper.
Okay, well, this, I called CVS. It's just right across the street from you. I don't know if it'd take you 2 or 3 minutes. Somebody, she said she had one. She just put it in the trash. I mean, it's not dirty or anything.
Oh, it's free!
She charged you. And if matters, whoever's there wants to just take, because they're practically just that side street right there.
Yeah, the CVS right up here at the end of where Washington meets the Delaware.
Yeah. She said, you know, I guess it'll be clean and everything, but she said she just put it there.
So there's one over by, and they only had one?
Yeah.
All right.
In the trash, because I thought they always went around and picked them up.
They're
wanting to use it.
Right up here at the CVS, they've got a paper for us.
CVS.
Yeah,
and not no charge.
Down that little alley, and they're right there at your place.
Well, I tell you, Matt will probably go over at 11 o'clock then. If you can, just tell him we'll be there in 30 minutes.
Oh, okay then.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Well, see, the listeners are out there for us. Look, you don't have to pay anything. And they might have more than one.
But,
who knows?
But she's right. In the old days, if you had unsold newspapers, you would
send them back.
Headline back to the paper office, and you wouldn't be charged with them.
They don't have the staff. to come pick up all these papers anymore and send them back. So there you go. But if anybody else knows where, because we'll really we'd like two, I think, but one will do. One will do. 740-383-9944.
That way, when you if you get the vampire in person, you might have to turn the lights off. So
oh, I've already talked to the vampire. The vampire and I have already made contact.
They can autograph a copy and you can put it on the wall.
Well, I just want to show her that, listen, this, you were front page news in our town, and that's why I'm coming to interview you from Worcester. Why couldn't we get a local vampire? I know there are some local vampires around here somewhere.
Well, and that's what we have here. We have the, since this is bonus.
Bonus top 10. Well, we should do it right now because we're talking about it.
Top 13.
And we've got more top 10 lists today. Now, if you want to put the headphones on, because I'm going to let you do the list here, so you can hear the drum roll, so it's not overpowering. Sometimes the drum roll gets a little overpowering as time goes on here. Okay, let's see. I think the drum roll is going. Ah, there it is. Okay. From the home office in Columbus. Now, pull that mic closer, because I don't want the drum roll to overpower you. From the home office in Columbus, Ohio, written and performed today by Bob Welsh. The top 10, what's the category?
The top 13, because this is bonus, top 13 reasons vampires hang out in Worcester.
The top 13 reasons vampires hang out in Worcester. Front page story here in the Marion Star. Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Number 13, Worcester has more casket salesmen.
Oh, do they? I wasn't aware of that.
Number 12. Marion has no nightlife without the Keg and Vine.
Oh, that is true. Ever since George closed the Keg and Vine.
Number
11. It's harder than you think, isn't
it? There are more attorneys in Worcester.
Oh, there you go. There you go. There's a lot of cases, I imagine.
Number 10. The Gypsy Queen put a hex on the Marion vampires.
Oh, is that why we don't have any here?
That's right.
Oh, that's what, Howard. Gypsy Queen.
Number 9. Worcester sucks.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, then, she wouldn't be happy to hear that.
Number 8, Worcester has a bigger Red Cross bank.
Now, I want to go back to the previous one for just a second, because I want people to understand the double meaning of that. It's hard to explain a joke. I hate when people explain the
There's
joke.
A double meaning?
Yeah. Listen, people, listen, on first glance, our first hearing of that, you probably just think we don't like Worcester. Think of vampires and think of what they do. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
As a side note, actually, I was at a Worcester University versus Denison soccer game the other night there.
Really? Did you see her? She's a town celebrity, you know.
No, she was. Oh, I did not see her rooting, even though it was a night game. You know, I did not see any vampires
My
there.
My gosh.
Where did we leave off at? I forget.
Number seven.
Last year in Marion, somebody threw a fruitcake at a vampire.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, we should get her involved in the fruitcake toss.
Number six.
More celebrities, the better.
Marion vampires passed out after sucking blood at the Ace High Club.
Oh, yeah, a lot of stuff went over at the Ace High Club.
Number 5, the sound of the rotating merchant ball keeps vampires awake.
Yeah, it's always turning. Can't slow that thing down.
Number 3, this is an elaborate hoax by the Marion Star to get free advertising on WGH.
You know, it might have been. It very well might have been, because we've really covered them this time.
I think I miscounted here somewhere since we're doing 13.
Oh, it's always trouble.
The Worcester Flying Scots sing the Swifty song, Plaid Blood, Plaid Blood.
Oh, there you go, there you go. I'm with you.
I heard that the other night.
All right.
Number two. With the IRS hounding Marion, who needs vampires?
That's exactly right. We've got our own trouble.
And number one.
The number one reason.
That vampires do not hang out in Worcester.
All right. Do not hang out in Worcester?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's easier than it looks until you're on the spot.
The number one reason vampires hang out in Worcester, the ghost of Florence Harding scared away all the vampires.
That's exactly what happened. Flo cleared house here in Marion. Well, we should take that list, and when we get the paper, we'll put them together, and we'll take them to the vampire in Worcester and give them to her. Now, listen, I hate to bring this up, but you were listening in hour number one this morning, right? Did you understand?
We were sitting over at Perkins there listening.
Listening. Did you understand the whole, do you understand the whole sexual connotation behind vampires, which is what was brought up? What is that?
Well, and apparently, I think Matt brought it up, but the, or I don't know who brought it up, but there is a connotation always that, you know, that the male vampires only suck the female victims and vice versa. And, you know, I guess there's always a connotation there.
So we were on this morning at Perkins and on the city bus. We were getting around this morning. We were getting around.
Well, and like I said, I had my little phone app on and everything, but I wasn't overpowering all the tables there. It was just basically my table there that was getting reception.
Was it hard to overpower the senior citizen group that hangs out at Perkins? Because I know that the median age of people who eat there is about 85.
Well, yeah,
I like Perkins. Listen, I like Perkins.
But they had the Muzak on and so everybody was comfy there.
That's good to hear.
Disco Muzak. You don't see that very often.
It was disco. What did you have the Grand Slam? No, that's when Denny's
has the Grand Slam.
Yeah, what's Perkins have?
I think they have the Big Diaper. I don't know.
Is that what it's called? That sounds delicious over at Perkins this morning. Now, we have the cookie. What's your favorite Halloween candy?
Actually, that's coming up here.
It's coming up.
If you've read the top 10 list there, but I think my favorite...
I do pre-read those,
I think my favorite is Twix.
Really? Now, Matt, what is yours?
Just gummy candies, probably.
No, that's gummy, right. We went over that the other night.
Things that probably like Sour Patch Kids. I think they're probably the most common gummy candy given out.
Eric, how about you?
Candy corn.
Candy. You know what's interesting? Candy corn is much like fruitcakes. The stores start selling candy corn in August, so by October they have none. And fruitcakes start being sold in October, so by December the stores have none. They're that niche item for that particular event. I can't say Halloween's a holiday, but by the time you actually get to it, it's gone. Yeah. You cannot find candy corn right now in stores.
And there's an urban legend out there, actually, that if you eat candy corn with peanuts, it tastes like a payday candy bar.
Oh, really?
But I don't like payday candy bars, so I've never even tried.
Well, now, what is in a payday? I can't even say I've had a payday.
A payday peanuts. Is just like basically a stick of caramel that's covered in peanuts.
Really? That's all it is?
Basically.
Stick of caramel covered in peanuts.
Like, I say stick loosely. It's more like soft caramel, but yeah, it's just caramel covered in peanuts.
You know, I was thinking, Matt probably doesn't know this, but this is a perfect time to do this at Halloween. Of course, we've talked about your... tell people just in a tin-type fashion you and Eric's foray into the pizza business.
Well, we met while working at the Great Race Pizza Shop, which was from 78 to 83 here in Marion.
Which is right over here.
Right, very close to where the Washington crosses the Delaware. On Delaware Avenue. And, it was big stuff there for a couple years.
Well, and the reason we got together is a book was written, and by you.
I wrote a book, and I'm going to prove later on that I'm not a one-trick pony, but I wrote a book, Three Pies Hot, available over there at the Marion County
Historical Society.
Historical Society. Yes. They got a big box of them.
It's a very good book. And it's a tell-all, which you really were the forerunner to tell-all books. Now we've got Jada Pinkett Smith and Britney Spears writing these tell-all books. But you told it all.
Well, no, actually.
You didn't tell it all.
I held back.
There's more to tell?
There's not enough for a sequel, but if we ever go to another printing, I could squeeze another chapter.
Well, here's what I thought.
The things that happened.
Because this book would be considered
did I tell all?
Careful how you say squeeze out another chapter.
Oh, my. Well, here's what's fascinating to me. We're coming up on the dark holiday of Halloween here, you know, scary time, and this book was a tell-all, and there are a lot of very scary stories in this book. So I thought, give us a story. Eric and both of you can give us a story of something but odd that would have happened while you were partaking. Eric, I know you were out driving bunch of times. There's some we've heard some of those stories.
I'll go ahead and tell one while Eric scratches his last brain cell to come up with one. And this has to do a little bit with Halloween, is that one evening, it was still around 5, 6 o'clock, bright sunlight, and you got to keep in mind that our store is across from the Harding Cemetery there, the cemetery, or it was. And driver reported in early one night and said, "Look, buddy, it's 4:30. You're not supposed to be here till 6:30. And so just go away and come back at 6:30. You know, it's good to have people on prompt being on time and everything. So I say he goes away, and then around 6:15, 6:30, he comes walking back. Not driving back, which is the, you know, essential part
he
of
being... He drove away.
He drove away in his car, but he comes walking back, but, you know, an essential part of being a driver is having something to drive. You have to have a car. And so we see him walking back, and they go, this is not a good sign. And it turns out that he went over to the cemetery there to, I don't know, pass some time or... pass whatever, driving by some weeds or something, I don't know. But he comes walking back, and apparently he got locked in.
Oh, in the cemetery.
In
the Marion Cemetery.
In the cemetery.
I don't think they shut the gates anymore over there.
Well, they did back then.
These were the old days.
And so he was able to hop the gate, but his car unfortunately could not hop the gate. And he had to contact the night watchman or something like that to get let out.
That is a spooky story. That would qualify as a Halloween story.
Here you go.
Eric, what happened to you over the course of your time in the pizza business?
Well, pretty much every night was Halloween night in Marion delivering.
I would imagine it would be.
Yeah, they came out of the woodwork.
Now, what are some of the oddest experience you had at the door?
One time I went up to the door and rang the doorbell, and I thought, that's kind of odd. The doorbell's only, you know, 4 foot up off the porch or whatever. And it kind of leaned down to punch it. And the person that answered the door was about 3.5 foot tall. And I thought it was a child. And I said, here you go, little girl. And she grabbed it, ripped it out of my hands, told me to go to hell.
That's nice. No tip. I bet you didn't get a big tip on that one.
No.
No, no. So it was a short person, because we can't use the M word anymore, apparently, in society.
Oh.
Yeah. I guess. Is that one of those forbidden words now?
Well, it's still in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, so as far as I'm concerned, okay. It should be allowed to
be
used.
It should be fair game.
Yeah.
It should be fair game. Now,
I still have things like midget racing and...
Yeah.
Well, they do, but I, you know...
There's still midget wrestling down in Florida.
Do they like to be called that, though?
It's not a matter of wrestlers? Like, it's a matter of economics, if you're a wrestler.
Is that what it is? Yeah, I guess so. You can't say small people wrestling. It's not going to attract the same kind of crowd as midget wrestling.
Did I say bad word on the radio there?
No, I think we can still get away with that one.
And then there's dwarf tossing. You know?
Dwarf. You know, there are three words. Now, clearly the one is outlawed. That relates to an ethnicity. But the midget word, now you can still say midget, but I guess it's just not... what, politically correct to say it?
It's like saying Indian.
Well, there's another one. But you know what? I don't know that Indian necessarily is always a bad one, because if you use it for referring to an old baseball team, that's not necessarily politically incorrect. Or if you use it like Indian giver, that's a term. So I think those are still Indian summer.
Well, and the AAA ball club there in Indianapolis is still Indianapolis... Indians.
There you go.
And they I think they were a farm team for Cleveland.
So the word itself has not been banished. No. And then the other one, which I'm not going to say, but it's the Q word, and it refers to LGBTQ, and that's one of those words that it really has become ambiguous. You really should not say it, because it is offensive to a group, but... I'm not sure that it's banned.
And I'm not going to say it because you don't want us to say it, but it kills me, though, that, you know, we start out, we don't like this word, and therefore we want you to call us lesbians or gay or bi or trans, you know, and it's come up with all these...
Like Transylvania.
And now it's LGBTQ because that's now acceptable. And they go... Why is it acceptable anymore? You know,
well, I don't want to have this debate.
How did it get back to being acceptable after you wanting us to steer away from it?
Well, see, I don't want to have this debate about this, but there is some ambiguity on what the Q actually stands for.
Oh.
Now, the people who I've talked to say it's questionable.
That's what the Q stands for.
But people have said that because of what that group is, that the Q stands for the word that's considered a slur. So I'm not even sure that's what the Q stands for. I think people just like to say that's what the Q stands for.
All right.
I guess.
All right.
I mean, have you really, though, heard that word? I mean, people don't use that word anymore.
I'm thinking deeply there, but...
Now, Matt, you know what word we're talking about, don't you?
Yeah.
Do you think... Have you heard... Is your generation using that word?
No.
No. That's a... But the other one, the N-word... Now, people use that word in your generation.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what about midget? Are they okay with midget?
I still refer to things... I mean, like, we still have... Don't we still have the whole, like, Marion midget football?
You know, last time I checked, they were still there, but I really don't know.
So, like, I mean, yeah, that's fine.
But what about, Indian?
I mean, I still call them Indians sometimes, but I know that they, like, it's Native American, but...
It's not even Native American anymore, because they really weren't Native Americans, I don't think. I think it's indigenous people now.
Well, they came from somewhere else.
Didn't we all, though? I mean, isn't
that's why I'm saying, why are we having a problem and when you're not really the indigenous people?
Who was here first? Are we ever really going to know?
Well, the caveman, you know.
Was it Adam and Eve? Right. Was Adam and Eve here first? Is that who it was? I don't know who was here first. Was it the dinosaurs? Was it... I don't know.
But yet, if you go up to Canada, they're very adamant about using the term First Nation people.
They think
they've got a lock on the DNA structure going back several millennia.
Now, how do you feel about Christopher Columbus? We just passed Columbus Day. I mean, and that was one where we as historians in America really got it wrong. And but so much time passed, and we told that story for so long that we gave him holidays, we named cities after him, he's in history books. I mean, is there any way to unding that bell now? Because there really is no question now that we really, really, really got that wrong.
Did we? I mean...
We clearly know he was not trying to find... America. He did not name America. He did not even think he ended up in America. He thought he was a failure. That's how we got the Indian name, was because he thought he was in the West Indies. That he pillaged people. He killed people. He was not a good guy. And it turns out he wasn't even a good sailor.
Isn't 99% of all great discoveries by accident?
Right, but I mean, at least at some point in your life, I think you should realize that you found it. And he never did.
No.
It's a strange thing with Christopher. Yeah. What is the celebration of him now? Because we celebrate him as the founder of America.
Well, I know. I personally drove around the 270 loop 3 times in honor of Christopher Columbus on Columbus Day.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you? You didn't go down to the State House and see the statue?
The statue's gone.
It's gone?
It's gone.
No.
No, they took it away about, actually in front of the city courthouse, they took it away about... 2.5 years ago, when all this flack started, and it's in some basement somewhere.
What about one at the State House?
No, the State House is McKinley. There's no Columbus at the State.
No, there's a Columbus at the State. I went down there and we did a little taping there. Now McKinley's right out front.
Yeah.
But Christopher Columbus, if you go up toward the State House doors and you hang a right, he's there on the right.
I'll have to look for
him. You'll have to look for him there. He's hidden.
But the one in front of the city courthouse is gone.
Really? Took it down?
Took it down.
Said no more?
No more.
Well, you know, that's how it goes.
So, I mean, for a while there, I mean, there was this discussion that, you know, maybe we should rename the capital city to something else, like Indigenous Persons Capital or something. I don't know.
Well, you know, that seems a little overkill to me because, honestly, I don't even think most people know that Columbus was named for Christopher Columbus. I don't think that connection is made. So, you know, what do you think, Matt?
I haven't thought about Christopher Columbus in... ages. Basically, this would be the first time I thought about him since forever. So, like...
Well, we're glad. So you didn't, like, have a little ritual on Columbus Day a few weeks ago, and...
I didn't even know Columbus Day was a few weeks ago.
Well, apparently he's already forgotten.
There you go.
We don't have to worry about it.
Well, I mean, they don't just teach these things at school anymore for those that show up and pay attention.
I don't know what you'd say about Christopher Columbus at this point.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah, well... So, can we say that he sailed on into history?
He has sailed on into history. He's moved along the way. Now, on the note of another book, no, you couldn't do another book, but you have more juicy stories.
Well, I don't know. Do we have enough juicy stories to do a reprint of the Three Pies and make it... there are stories that we left out, I left out.
Well, give us a good one that's not in the book.
Oh, dear.
This will be like a galley story.
Well, I mean,
is there some legal ramification here or something?
There could be.
Well, no, that your dear friend Charlie is dead, right?
Yes.
Maybe we'll do a séance
to get him back.
Now tell people who Charlie was, because this is important for people who haven't read the book.
He was probably the Pete the King of Megalomania, who was going to reshape the world, the pizza world, in his image. And
he thought he knew it all.
He did know it all. I'll tell you.
He was partners with your brother, right?
Correct.
In the business. Yeah.
And he thought that he would be able to control, you know, the pizza destiny of the world, and he started out here in Marion. And we did all right for a while, you know. I mean, because we had a quality product and quality service and everything, and despite getting locked in the cemetery. But because when we started, there was like 14 pizza shops in Marion, and then in 3 to 4 years, we kind of brought that down to 7 or 8. And so, I mean,
you were doing well.
We were doing very well.
But it wasn't good enough for him.
And, you know, he kept trying to open a second store in Marion, and that always ended in tragedy, or, you know. But he like I said, he wanted to have it changed, you know, stores one after the other, and, you know, run Domino's out of business within 10 years. And I think we got up to 10 stores at one point, but not all at the same time. He never had more than 5 open at once.
Now, Eric, you knew this Charlie fellow. How would you describe him?
Tad overweight, obnoxious, know-it-all, but other than that, a really pleasant fellow to be around.
Really? Good guy, huh? Well, good guy. You really liked him.
Well, I mean, he was
a typical member of the uneducated, non-thinking populace that thinks it's in charge.
Did he ever have a good moment, like at the holidays? Did he come at Christmas and have a Christmas party, or was there ever a moment of contretemps with this guy?
There was one Christmas party.
Everybody else had a good time.
Yeah.
Except him.
Well, yeah. It was at his house there.
He was constantly playing politics.
Yeah. So he invited everybody over to the house, though.
That's right, and it was kind of trashed by the end of the evening, early morning, and he apparently thought that not going to happen again here, and it never happened again anywhere.
So one Christmas party in all the years that everything was open.
But I think maybe one illustration, you know, he, like Eric said, he was slightly overweight, a little bit more so than slightly, maybe. And he thought, well, the best way to lose weight is to take up smoking.
Oh, really?
And then so late in his life here, like he's 35, 40 years old, he thought, well, I'm going to take up smoking in order to lose weight. Which is, you know.
This is a thinking man.
This is a thinking man, yes. And it didn't work. but he became famous for constantly smoking in your face, they're trying to lose weight and everything, and
borrowing face,
you know, because he always wanted to borrow cigarettes from those who had it, which wasn't me, but he couldn't afford to smoke on his own.
Now, I thought he was a kingpin. He had the big money. Deep pockets.
Well, people who have big money don't spend it.
That's how you get big money.
You don't spend it. That's right.
So he blew smoke in your face, huh?
Literally.
What a nice guy this must have been. So when he came to town, it was a good event.
It was a good event. I mean, it started out well, and you know, like
he'd tell you what you were doing wrong.
Constantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, what would be a typical tip from him?
Well, he was always big on cross-selling, you know, on the phone there. So if somebody comes in and calls in an order of pizza, well, ask if they want extra thick crust, which we even charge extra for, or extra cheese or extra sauce or something, you know, sell more, you know, take the opportunity to sell, which is, I mean, it's a good idea to cross-sell. Everybody goes, you want fries with that or something, you know, but he was very big on that. And you know, if you said, well, do you want extra cheese or extra sauce? You know, that's good, but you didn't ask if they wanted any cola with that or, you know, extra pepperoni or something. You build it up. Get more out of them, you know.
Always a push from this man. You remember any stories, Eric, where he was telling you how better to do your job?
Oh, yeah. He was fanatical about cleaning and trying to find things wrong. That was all there was to it, really, because the store was extremely clean. And you know, we were scrubbing the baseboards, you know.
Daily.
So, yeah, and he would still, you know, give the white glove treatment and say, oh, you missed a spot.
When you look back on it now, this has been 40 years ago, what do you really think his problem was? I mean, what was going on there?
He was reared poorly as a child.
It went back to childhood. It dated back with him.
Well, I never met his parents, so I can't say that, but yeah, there was something bad in the upbringing there, but I mean, everything was centered on him, you know, and...
Yeah, very narcissistic individual.
Yeah.
Now, just for people, because he's still alive when you wrote the book. What year did you write the book?
85 or so?
Really, 85? 85,
something like that.
Dates back that far?
I think so.
Okay, 85, so he's still alive at that point. And you never hear from him.
No.
Even though he's named in the book.
He's named in the book. First name only. I left out his last name.
But he's dead now.
He didn't even have the decency to file a lawsuit.
Darn him. You think a narcissistic gentleman like that would? You never ran into him again?
No.
Okay. When he died. What, do we know when he died?
Not too long ago. I think 2000...
6 years ago.
Well, darn it, we could have had him on.
15,
I bet he'd have been a good guest.
Yeah, he would have kept you talking.
Yeah. Now, he lived to seemed to be a ripe old age.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
I forget the obituary there, but it was, he might have been made at 78, 79 or something like that.
When you had seen that he had died, well, what emotion ran through you at that point?
Nothing really.
You didn't go to the services?
No, because I didn't know until about like 6 months afterwards.
If you had known, would you have gone to the services?
Probably not.
Really?
No. I don't think I could have gone there and been properly respectful.
That much hostility for this man.
And it would just... You know,
I felt nothing. I mean, you know, as Carl Sandburg would say, the past is a bucket of ashes. I've let that piece of history go.
But usually there's one redeeming quality about everybody, even if they're just a horrible person 90% of the time. There's something about them that's redeemable that you can say, well, you know, they were pretty awful on the whole, but, you know, at Christmas they delivered toys somewhere, or they were nice to their kids, or they were a good father, or, you know, we hear that often with politicians. They'll say, well, I can't stand them, wouldn't vote for them, don't like them, but, you know, they seem to have good kids.
I'm sure he was a good father.
He was a father. Okay, was he a faithful husband?
I don't know about that.
Okay, well, we're not even going to give him credit for that.
No.
Okay, well, there we go.
I'm sure Bob will bring that up in the next chapter.
No, wait, so Bob,
the next book.
You hesitated.
Actually, Eric reminded me of an incident there with...
Well, what happened? Listen, this is good stuff for Halloween.
Well,
Is Charlie's widow still around?
Probably.
Oh, okay, well, let's definitely get it out there. He's gone now.
Yeah. Now let's go fishing for a lawsuit.
Well, if it's true, you can't be sued.
That is true, but I guess there was an incident there that somebody discovered at the old Courtesy Inn.
he was high dollar with his side pieces. He really took him to a nice place in town.
Well, that was probably a good stretch there, but... and I don't know if I know all the details, but,
I didn't see the film. I have no idea what the details are.
All right.
What was heard? If you say allegedly, I don't think anybody can ever do anything anyway either.
Yeah.
Allegedly, what happened?
Shacking up there with one of the employees.
Really? Of your employees?
I don't know. I'm not going to take credit for hiring
her. Did you like her? Was she a nice girl?
You said it was a her.
Oh, well, so there you go.
I think if it's the person I'm thinking of, nobody liked her.
Nobody liked her. So she fit right in.
Yeah, she was right on his level.
Now, when she came back in, did she have a little bit of his megalomania? She was going to whip the pizza business into...
Yes.
So it rubbed off.
Yeah.
How long did was it just a one-time only thing, one and done, or was there more to it?
I don't know all the details. I don't know.
Anything. So he didn't even have that redeeming quality. But his kids turned out okay.
I'm sure they are.
If we had them on, maybe they could tell us something about him. That was, yeah.
Maybe.
So was he a Marion person?
No, he was from, lived in Columbus. I don't know if his original background, where he was born and grew up at, I mean, his parents were Lebanese.
Lebanese. Like Danny Thomas.
Like Danny Thomas. Yeah, there you go.
Very
the redeeming quality there.
Yeah.
Like Danny Thomas.
I thought
Thomas.
One parent was Syrian and one was Lebanese.
I don't know.
I believe, yeah.
But, you know more than I do.
No, I just
you probably heard more
recall.
Stories than I do.
This is recall.
Recall, all right.
Matt, now you've never gotten a chance. We'll get you a copy of this book. You'd like to read this book, wouldn't you?
I'm sure it'd be good.
Well, it's all about the destruction of a pizza business.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Basically laid at the doorstep of one man. Yeah. But this book's got it all. I mean, right, really, there's a debauchery. There's there's death in this book. Horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unbelievable to think of the things that happened at this pizza business.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pizza shop. I don't like, you know, I don't
it's
like
it's kind of like the backstory here. You know, there's a lot of stuff that went on here that I really can't talk about right now, but the book will come out after we shut down.
You might as well just release the book now.
Well, you don't want to, you know, tick people off.
Well,
did you worry about that when you wrote the book?
A little bit, because I was in law school at the time and everything, and so learning about things you can and can't say. And so some stories had to get buried or assigned to somebody else, you know, as far as the actions and so forth.
Now, I do. We're about to go to break here, and Pastor Craig will be on at 11:15 here, and we'll come back at 12:15. But you have, and we're going to do the pizza at 12:15.
Yeah.
But now you have a manila envelope. We've only got about a minute left here, so are you going to? We'll save that for 12.
We'll save it for 12.
Okay,
but. The Three Pies Hunt was not the only book I was involved with.
Oh, I did not know that.
And something else has just come back into print for the first time in a decade or so.
It's back in print.
It's back in print.
Oh, man.
The demand is out there, apparently.
Okay, well, we're going to check this out on the other side of Pastor Craig's show.
And Matt took a picture of the clue for you.
Oh, it's a pizza.
No.
No, the cookie.
The cookie.
Oh, well, we're getting close then. I think we're narrowing in on this. So now, Bob, though, quickly, we're going to have the pizza. What's going to happen? Have we decided the day before Thanksgiving what it is? It's not going to be pumpkin pie. It's not going to be a turkey. So
well,
what's it going to be?
If you really like this one, we can do another pumpkin pie one.
But what's the new?
We'll have to give that some thought there.
We've talked about cranberries.
Because I was looking over the kitchen here, the studio kitchen, and
you'll never find a kitchen like that anywhere.
Well, I don't think the Board of Health
allowed
me to cook there.
It's like Julia Child's kitchen.
Oh, it's like Julia Child's. Maid's kitchen. I don't know.
It's a big win back there. It's a big win.
Yeah.
So we've got that coming up, and maybe cranberries, I think, is what we...
Maybe we could do a cranberry pizza.
I mean, like a... Because people like the cranberries in the can.
Actually, we did the fruitcake pizza. Wasn't that on Thanksgiving?
No, that was the day after...
That was the day after Thanksgiving.
Gravy. Oh, Lord.
No, pizza, but Scott doesn't like gravy.
Oh, Lord, no.
It's bad enough.
That would be toxic. We'd have to sit that one outside.
It's bad enough that
we'd have to sit it outside. Yeah, the fruitcake, well, and at Christmas we'll have to come up with another holiday version of a pizza, because that fruitcake pizza was a pricey pizza.
It was, yeah.
What was it, like $60 on 30 bucks to order
probably,
that thing?
It was probably in the 20, but yeah.
In Christmas, there's a lot of things, I guess, that go around food-wise.
That's right. A lot of things go around at Christmas.
I still wonder if our tree topper is okay.
I'm thinking not. I think I'm going to have to make another one.
Hey, I put it on top this year.
Okay.
I put it on top. I made sure that there were no mice. The mice would be hard to get with it. We've got Eric and Bob and Matt here, and we're going to come back. Pastor Craig coming up here in 15 minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be back at 12:15 for the pie, pizza, sampling, and all the good stuff, and we're going to find out what's in the manila envelope. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Grandmother, for one thing, my grandmother had worked in the white people's houses, and she had always seemed disrespectful. She would come in and she would do the laundry, and after she had put the laundry and arranged it the way she wanted, the woman who owned the house